You're listening to SBS News.
Lockdown will be lifted in regional Victoria, with the exception of the town of Shepparton, which is still battling a coronavirus outbreak. The state has recorded 221 new locally acquired COVID-19 cases on Wednesday, but most are in Melbourne. From Friday morning, the five reasons to leave home will be removed. Offices can reopen at 25% capacity or 10 people, and businesses and venues can reopen. Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Professor Brett Sutton, says schools can also gradually reopen.
We do believe that these changes, modest though they are safe and appropriate steps that we can take to grant some extra freedoms for those in regional Vic. I certainly know how hard it's been for everyone, especially those in regional Victoria who reflect on the fact that they may not have had a case for some weeks or months, or maybe not through the course of this entire year. But we've also seen the risk of incursions into regional Victoria and just what it means when an outbreak takes hold.
A community food program by Parks Victoria, Refugee Settlement Agency Ames Australia and the Tarnet Sikh Temple is reaching to help feed families in Shepparton. As for Melbourne, the capital city will stay in lockdown for now, and there will be an increased police presence near the metropolitan regional border. Stranded Victorians in New South Wales will be allowed to quarantine at home as part of a trial agreed to by National Cabinet. Victorian Health Minister Martin Foley says more than 200 people who have been at the border for 14 days will be the first people to quarantine at home. They will need to apply from Friday night, provide a negative test result, evidence of their first COVID-19 vaccine, evidence they have remained at the border, and proof of being a Victorian resident.
We do apologise for the discomfort and the disruption that is causing many, many Victorians. But as we've seen today, the risk in New South Wales grows, and the last thing we want to do is import that risk, however inadvertently, into Victoria and make our already challenging situation even more difficult.
Newly reappointed Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy has pledged to employ a dedicated mental health specialist at every Victorian school if elected in 2022. Given students have lost around 150 days of class and have suffered 6 interrupted terms. To New South Wales, and the state has recorded its third Indigenous COVID-19 linked death during this outbreak, an Aboriginal man in his 60s from Dubbo. 34 new virus cases have been recorded in western and far western New South Wales, with the majority in Dubbo. The state's Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, flagged that regional areas with zero cases will soon be able to exit lockdown.
The most likely areas, if you're going to consider it, is areas that have no cases. It's simple as that, no cases. And if we do make the decision in relation to opening, and that is up to the health advice, to the crisis committee, and we'll make those decisions and we'll let the community know shortly. So there is an opportunity open, but I would argue that would be in a very restricted environment still, nothing like the environment pre the lockdown.
Mr. Barilaro also urged international students to get vaccinated, with a reminder they do not need a Medicare card to receive their free jab. A new purpose-built website has been launched so international students can easily find information that relates to them. An industry toolkit resource has also been released to assist education providers, agents and community organisations. It comes as Premier Gladys Berejiklian revealed the state has now surpassed 75% first dose vaccination coverage for eligible residents, while 42% are fully jabbed. The state treasurer, Dominic Perrottet, however, is not completely supportive of the reopening plan, saying that leaving Western Sydney in lockdown while other suburbs begin to enjoy new freedoms is unfair.
You know, the people of Western Sydney have made enormous sacrifices, as we all have across our state. What we don't want to have is a situation in Sydney where we've got two cities, and we should all come out of this together.
New South Wales Health recorded 1,480 new cases of COVID-19 and 9 deaths, including a Western Sydney man in his 20s. It takes the toll for the current outbreak to 148. COVID advisor to the World Health Organization and University of New South Wales professor, Mary Louise McClaws, echoed Mr. Perrottet's sentiments and called for more information.
The idea of leaving certain groups locked up while having others open when we're not going for zero needs to be reconsidered, very much reconsidered. And 1,400, nearly 1,500 cases, it's really very distracting. Without a lot of contextual information at the presses, it's very hard to determine how these people are catching it.
Disability advocates have condemned government ministers for victim-blaming people dying from COVID-19 by saying they died with underlying health conditions. The Grattan Institute says about 10 million Australians are at higher risk of complications, including 1.8 million with three or more health conditions that put them at higher risk of death. Grattan Institute Health Director Professor Stephen Duckett says speaking dismissively of someone who died from COVID-19 who had so-called underlying health conditions is ethically reprehensible. People with Disability Australia President Samantha Connor says daily COVID data should not be conflated with public messaging. Elsewhere, Federal Liberal MP Fiona Martin is calling for the Sydney suburb of Burwood to be released from 12 local government areas of concern. Cumberland City Council Mayor Steve Christou has called on the government to provide more clarity and a roadmap out of tough restrictions to all areas of Greater Sydney. He also calls on officials to be simpler in their messaging and to improve government multilingual pandemic information from the top down.
Because we're in a unique situation where 68% of our residents were roughly born overseas and speak a language other than English as their first language at home. The message doesn't get through. People miss out on vital information, which is very critical to their health and the broader community's health. And we don't want our community to miss out. We want them, and we want to encourage them, to be fully vaccinated, to be fully protected, and understand the seriousness of which is COVID.
International vaccine passports could soon be available for fully inoculated Australians who want to travel overseas. The passport is to be rolled out as early as next month and will be located in a phone app. It will have the same personal information as your normal travel passport, plus a QR code. Separate passports will be issued to unlock domestic freedoms. Transport and Tourism Forum Chief Executive Margie Osmond warns businesses need time to absorb the new plans, urging the government to be transparent and provide all relevant information ahead of time.
So we think it's very much a goer, but the issue will be also giving businesses sufficient time to prepare for the demand when we do open and people go, yippee, I've got my vac pass and I'm off.
The federal government says international travel will resume once states reach the 80% vaccination benchmark. But with just 39% of the eligible population inoculated, it's unlikely to happen anytime soon. Labor's health spokesman Mark Butler says the government should treat this topic with urgency and ensure a national approach.
Australians first need to get access to a vaccine, and that's still too far behind. But once that access and supply issue is sorted out, we support a system that firstly is reliable and accurate. We need it to be secure. Well, what we also need to see is a system that will apply domestically, and that's more likely to be a reality for the Australian people before international travel comes back. So this is an urgent issue, but I don't think anyone wants to see eight different systems set up in our federation. There should be a national approach to this.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Marcus Megaloconomos, SBS News.